'Tis not that I did choose thee, Lord, for Lord that could not be.
Toddsville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Man O' War Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
I want to read a parable that the Lord gave in Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this is the Lord's comment upon this, not some preacher, not some religious organization. I tell you, the words of sovereign authority. I tell you, this man, this self-condemned publican, this man went down to his house justified. Justified. Rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I've entitled this message, A Parable to the Self-Righteous. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. They had a self-righteousness, and consequently they despised others. Question. Am I exempt from this? Are you exempt from this? Would this describe me and you? Would we be included in that certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous? Someone may think, well, I may be a lot of things, but I'm not self-righteous. Really? Really? Now, I can make this statement very confidently. If you're an unbeliever, the greatest problem you have is self-righteousness. And I can say this with equal confidence. If you're a believer, the greatest problem you have is self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is the oldest sin. It's the sin that the devil used when he tried to tempt Eve in the garden. If you eat this fruit, this will make you like God. It'll put you up on a higher plane. You'll be more righteous. You'll know the difference between good and evil, and you'll choose the good over the evil. You'll be more righteous. What is the first thing that Adam and Eve did after the fall? They made a self-righteous covering of fig leaves to cover their sin. What did Adam say to God when he confronted him with sin? The woman you gave me. I'm not the problem. I'm still righteous. You're the problem. The woman you gave me, she gave me of the fruit, and I did eat. If you wouldn't have given me that woman, this would have never taken place. What's behind all this? Self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is the most deadly sin. Now listen to this very carefully. Your sin will not keep you from Christ. Your sins will not keep you from Christ. It's your righteousness that will keep you from Christ. That's why self-righteousness is the most deadly sin. It's the most difficult sin to stamp out. You think you press it down in one place and it pops out in another. It's a multi-faced sin. I've even heard people say, well, at least I know I'm a sinner, as if that's a righteous thing. Well, at least I know I'm a serial killer. Does that make it okay? It's the most difficult sin to stamp out, and it's the most deceitful sin. John said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We've told ourselves a lie and made ourselves believe it. How deceitful is the sin of self-righteousness? And it's the most disrespectful sin toward God and men. You know, John also said, if we say we've not sinned, present tense, active voice, with regard to whatever we've done, if we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. How disrespectful to God is this thing of self-righteousness. And it's self-righteousness that makes us look down our nose at other people and treat them wrong. Self-righteousness is the sin that objects to the gospel. You see, when the gospel declares that we're sinners, self-righteousness doesn't believe that. Self-righteousness sees no need of the grace of God. It sees no need of God electing a people and Christ actually completely paying for the sins of everybody he died for, the elect, and God the Holy Spirit coming invincibly and irresistibly and giving life and causing them to persevere. The self-righteous spirit sees no need of that. You know, the sin of self-righteousness is behind our sins against our fellow man. That one who trusted in himself that he was righteous, he despised others. He looked down upon others. They were not as good as him. Therefore, he could treat them in such contemptible ways. Self-righteousness is behind prejudice and jealousy and envy and mistreatment of others. The self-righteous man always despises others, and God hates self-righteousness. These six things doth God hate, yea, the seventh is an abomination to him. And the first thing he mentioned is a proud look, the child of self-righteousness. In Isaiah chapter 65, verse 3, God described these people who say, stand by yourself, come not near me, I am holier than thou. You know, that's the only time the word holier is found in the Bible. You know, people talk about, well, I'm getting holier and holier and less sinful and less sinful. You won't find that kind of language in the Scripture. The only time somebody uses the word holier is when this person says, I am holier than thou. And God says, these are a smoke in my nose. They stink to God. The greatest oxymoron, the greatest contradiction in terms that there is self-righteousness. Myself, self, sinful self, and putting righteousness in the same breath, self-righteousness, what? Hypocrisy. And every son of Adam is included in this certain that the Lord spake to. He spake to certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous. Now, he gives them this parable. Two men, verse 10. Two men. You know, the Bible always speaks in terms of two men. There are two kinds of men. They're the righteous and they're the wicked. Cain, Abel. The one thief on the cross and the other thief on the cross. Jacob and Esau. Two men went up into the temple to pray. There are only two kinds of men, the righteous and the wicked. Either righteous before God, we're talking about what God sees, not what men see, but what God sees. Righteous or wicked. The wicked all believe themselves to be righteous, or at least have the potential to be righteous. And the righteous all believe themselves to be wicked. This is exemplified in these two men that went to the temple to pray. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Now here we have the two representative men, and we're going to hear their two prayers. We're going to find out about the religion of the Pharisee and the religion of the publican. But the Pharisee, what's a Pharisee? The word means separated one. They believed that there was something they did that separated them from other men and made them better. It was the strictest sect that came out of Judaism. I mean, we're talking about men who attempted meticulously to keep the law, who stood on the street corners praying so everyone could hear them pray and hear of their spirituality. The Pharisee and the publican. Now, the publican was the most despised man in that time. He was a Jew who was employed by the Roman government to collect taxes for Rome. And you know that the Jewish people hated that. But not only did he collect taxes for Rome, he padded his own pocket with the extra money that he would charge and take from them. And he had the backing of the Roman government to protect him. He was a mafia-like figure who, if you didn't pay your taxes and line his pockets, he could make sure it was taken from you. He was the Bernie Madoff of his day, robbing people and taking their money, taking their retirement. He was a wicked man, a publican. Now, these two men are polarized. The Pharisee, the religious, moral man, the man you felt intimidated by, the man you felt judged by, you felt like you were so far beneath him. And then we have the publican, the sinful, despised man. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a publican. Now let's listen to the prayer of the Pharisee, verse 11. The Pharisee stood. Oh, he was confident. He stood up. I have no doubt that he wanted everybody to see him at this time as well. He stood so as to be seen, so as to be heard. Oh, he had a very high opinion of himself. He stood. And there was a familiarity with which he spoke to God that was unclean. He had so much confidence. God, I can hear the way he says this. God, I thank thee. But notice what the Lord tells us about this man. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. He wasn't praying to God. He thought he was, but he wasn't praying to God. He was praying to himself. He was worshiping himself. He thought he was worshiping God, but our Lord tells us he wasn't praying to God. He was praying thus with himself. And listen to his language. God. I mean the way he said it. I think of what John said. If we say we have fellowship with him. And this Pharisee was certainly saying that. God, I thank you that I'm not as other men are. I'm a good guy. I'm giving you the credit. But me and you, we're on good terms. God, I thank you. Like the man, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. This man was walking in the darkness of salvation by works of religious superstition, yet look at his claims with regard to himself. God, I can hear him say it. I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. Now this man was self-confident and he believes sound doctrine. He didn't give himself the credit. He didn't say, I thank myself that I'm not as other men are. I don't give myself the credit for this wonderful life that I'm living. He said, God, I thank thee. I'm giving you the credit. I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. But in his prayer, there is a certain omission. He doesn't say, I thank you for your grace. He doesn't say, I thank you for the forgiveness of sins. He doesn't say, I thank you for your mercy. He doesn't say, I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that's in him. He didn't say, I thank you for any of his glorious attributes he didn't thank God for. He said, I thank you that I am not as other men are. As a matter of fact, if you go on reading in this prayer, the word I is the biggest word in the prayer. I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. We see the star of his prayer, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. Now, anytime your religion is based on a comparison with others, it's going to go bad. I thank thee that I'm not like them. That was his confidence. I thank thee that I'm not like them. You can always find somebody that you think you're a little better than them. The Pharisee certainly did. And this prayer, his confidence, is the confidence of false religion. Look how I'm living. Look at my life. Look at my changed life. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I don't do these things. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. His ground of thanking God was how God had enabled him to be such a good person. You know, false religion, the emphasis is what your life say. I've even heard people say, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one. That's such pious dribble. The emphasis of false religion is how you're living. The way you are assured is how good your life is. Now, let's think about this man for a moment. He said, that fella is an extortioner, not me. He's an adulterer, not me. He's unjust, not me. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Now, if what that man said was true, that would be commendable. But the fact of the matter is, everything he said was a lie. Now, let me back that up with the scripture. Romans chapter 2, verse 1, Paul said, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest another, for thou that judgest doest the same things." He was saying, that man's an extortioner. I'm not. Yes, he was. He was an adulterer in his heart. He was an unjust person. I guarantee you, when he fasted, he disfigured his face so you could see him doing it. If you couldn't see that, then he'd tell you he's fasting. He did what he did to be seen of men. He talked about how generous he was. The Lord said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand gave it. He had it in the paper, how generous he was. He wanted to make sure everybody saw how good he was. He said, I thank you that I'm not as other men are. And you know, when he walked into the temple, he heard that publican in his pathetic prayer. He said, I'm sure thankful I'm not like him. And I have no doubt that the publican heard his prayer, and I'm sure he was intimidated by it. He stood back in the back of the church. Let's look at this publican in closing. Verse 13, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. He's so different from this publican. I mean, his posture, standing afar off, not even lifting up his eyes to heaven, feeling sinful and inadequate and isolated and unworthy, beating on his breast because he knew his heart was the problem. He believed what Jeremiah said when he said, the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? That's why he was beating upon his breast. And his prayer consisted of seven words. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I guarantee you he used the words, the Lord's name differently than the Pharisee did. He didn't have that presumption when he used the Lord's name. God, be merciful to me. He obviously had a different attitude about himself. The Pharisee was congratulating himself for how good he was. The publican said, oh, I need mercy. If you give me what I deserve, I'll go to hell. I need your mercy. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. In the original, the definite article is used. This man believed himself to be the most sinful man alive. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And that word merciful in the original means be propitious. Be propitious. What's that word mean? It means be a sin-removing sacrifice. I can't do anything about my sin. I can't make it go away. I can't please you by my works. I'm ashamed of myself in every respect. God, be propitious. Remove my sin through the blood of your Son. I have no other plea. God, be propitious to me, the sinner. If you're a sinner, you know that all you do is sin because you did it. You cannot not sin because it's you doing it. And your sin is all your fault. You can't blame God. You can't blame your circumstances. You can't blame the way you were raised. Your sin is all your fault. You can't look down in judgment upon any son of Adam. You know that you're the chief of sinners. And you know if God passed you by, he'd be right and just in doing it. That's what a sinner is. But listen to this. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom Paul said, I am the chief. Now, here is prayer. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Now look what Christ says in verse 14. I tell you, here's the Lord's assessment of this man. And what he says is the only thing that counts. What I say doesn't count, what you say doesn't count. What the Pharisee said didn't count, but what he said counts. I tell you, This man went down to his house, not forgiven, not shown mercy, not given grace. He went down to his house justified. Now, if you're justified, that means you didn't do any wrong. You've never sinned. You stand before God without guilt. Now, how can that be? Because Jesus Christ bore his sins and put them away. And he gave this man his righteousness. So this his righteousness became this man's personal righteousness. And he stood just before God, one who has never sinned. That's Christ's assessment. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. He was delivered for our offenses, speaking of Christ on the cross, and raised again for our justification. This man went down to his house justified, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. There's that word again. A sin-removing sacrifice through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness that he might be just and justify him which believeth in Jesus. Christ declared this man to be just rather than that Pharisee, that religious man. He went down to his house in his sins and would spend eternity in hell, suffering the wrath of God. And then the Lord makes this last statement, and this is the unalterable law of the kingdom of heaven. For everyone that exalteth himself, like this Pharisee did. Oh, how he commended himself. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm no adulterer. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. He was exalting himself. Everyone that exalts himself shall be abased. Nebuchadnezzar said, them that know walk in pride, he knoweth how to abase. And everyone that humbles himself, takes the lowest seat, his mouth is stopped, God be merciful to me, the sinner. He has no other plea. He humbles himself before God and takes his place as the chief of sinners. Everyone, without exception, that humbles himself shall be exalted, shall be saved on judgment day, justified by Christ.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.nybert@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.